Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Breakfast with Gary and Tim.
Good morning, everyone. Great to have you with us. We are on the verge of another fantastic AFL season. Josh Kennedy is going to join us, the former Swan skipper. We'll find out what he thinks about the chances of his Swannies bouncing back after the disappointment of last year's grand final result. Ben Hollins, he's the father of Ollie and Elijah. Ollie's going to make his debut for the Blues, so that'll be a great chat. Sammy Edmund. But we want to talk about, like, we are, it's a Wednesday, right? So clubs are now every bit as responsible for the marketing of their upcoming season openers as the AFL. The AFL go, here, there's the schedule. Mm. Then it's over to you. Mm. Go and work this out. Yep. So my question is, who's promoting this round one game best? Who's promoting their round one encounter best right now?
Okay.
And how are they doing it?
Okay. Here's my number one nomination for you and everybody else this morning. I think the production team of McCreary and Crisp are probably doing it better than any other production team out there at the moment. And
what
I
do
just
you mean?
Hope they're on. I just hope they're on an earner from the AFL or Collingwood and Geelong.
But we know there's going to be massive crowds because the AFL set it up this way. But when you see some of the things that are just unfolding over the past couple, like we'll get to the front page of the Herald Sun in a moment.
Yep.
Massive sit down tell all with one of the most watchable players in the competition, Jordan DeGoey. So that's landed today. So eyes on that. Ooh, let's think about Collingwood on Friday night. So they're doing a good job.
But have a listen to the McCreary Crisp production on a podcast on a former teammate of theirs, Ollie Henry.
There's a bit of bad blood there in a way, and they're always good. And then obviously someone's left Collingwood to go there. So
maybe a push and shove here and there might throw him off his game, but we'll see how we go.
We'll get around him for sure, but we want him to just, you know, stay focused and play his role within the team.
Okay, so McCreary and Chris talking about Ollie Henry, the fact that he left the club. So they said there's a bit of bad blood there. They could have gone with a lot of bad blood there, but they went with a little bad blood there. And then, so that gets picked up from there.
Yep.
And then that means then that the journalist that's then speaking to Jeremy Cameron has to throw a line in about it. He has to respond.
Ooh.
And then lo and behold, we got ourselves a mighty game at the MCG because there's so much bad blood now between these two clubs.
And we know it'll all count for nothing. Like, we know that there might be one or
no,
two.
But it's good.
It adds a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. And you know what? In all honesty, I reckon what McCreary said there is probably the truth about what some of the players felt about the departure of Ollie Henry, okay? Now, he probably tempered it. He could have probably...
No, I think Bo McCreary, I don't think he's done a hell of a lot of media.
No.
He just sat down with the, I don't know what podcast it was, with a mate, was it, or a podcast, whatever it was, and just spoke whatever came into his head.
That's right. And that's how he feels about it. So that's real. It's raw. And that's how some of the Collingwood players probably felt. Now, I don't know how it's going to manifest itself, but in terms of the lead up to a game and the build up to the game, we're now saying, okay, well, there's a little bit there between those Collingwood players and Ollie Henry. Are they going to try and do a bit of a team type thing
then
towards Ollie? And then you got the protection of the Geelong players of their new teammate, Ollie Henry.
And then you add Braden Maynard. Because who was it last year that someone will tell us? Like, I was been trying to think. Remember the first game of the year or the first final, I can't remember, one or the other, where he just lined someone up and the bone-crunching tackle. Mm. He did it a couple of times, Braden Maynard, right at the start of a game, set the scene. So does Braden Maynard just wander over to Ollie Henry? It was Ed Langdon, because Ed Langdon had said something about Collingwood.
About the way they play, yeah.
Yeah, so then the opening bounce and he just went whack. So, and that just, it was a fever pitch. So does... If at the start of this game you got 90,000 people going nuts, you know, Collingwood are thinking, you know, we were 6 points off Geelong in that first semi-final, we should have been. He wanders over to Henry, bang, gives him the old shoulder. Oh, it'll go.
And the crowd roars, so, and everybody's into it.
A-plus for Collingwood. A-plus for those
No,
boys.
I like that. I like that. I think that they just – I think they went rogue, those two, though. I don't think that was sanctioned by Craig Kelly and the Collingwood production team.
I think there's no coincidence.
Or Nadine. I don't think Nadine had anything to do with that. I think she's been kept in the dark about that. But the other one, obviously, this is the obvious one, right? And I don't know that we got Sam Mitchell's response yesterday. But any time Essendon play against Hawthorn, the line in the sand thing is brought up.
A for Sam Mitchell. A.
A?
Well,
the way that he responded.
Exactly.
He said that he didn't really walk away from it, did he?
No, he offered it up.
Yeah.
Well, they said to him, oh, you've had a couple of dust-ups, you know, you've had a – well, here it is up here on the news right now. You've had a few dust-ups at training. Yeah, we spoke about this. It's all good and well to dance with your sister, but we want to see.
Well, no, they've been blueing with their sister because they've been actually belting each other in their practice games.
That's right. And he's saying, oh, yeah, I encourage it. And if we become known as a team and have got a bit of a nasty, unsociable Hawks edge to us, then I encourage that. And, of course, we play Essendon this weekend. And then, bang, line in the sand.
We have a problem here, though. We do have a problem about all that. Because somebody's going to have to explain to Brad Scott what it's all about. At this stage, he'd be watching that. Well, what's this line in the sand stuff that you're talking about?
Turn it up.
He won't know. He won't know the history between Essendon.
It runs through Brad Scott's veins, whispers.
And further to that, further to the bad blood that exists between the two clubs, I was just reading about this in The Age. And this is Dipper has done a podcast for Hawthorn.
A-plus for the Hawks because they've rolled Dipper out with his Essendon story about the spa.
That's right. He said that the state training was at Glenferrie Oval because Jeansy was the coach. Yeah. And he's come in after training and there's Terry and Simon just sitting back in the team spa. And he said, out. We don't want S and DNA. We don't want you blokes peeing in our spa. We don't want your DNA everywhere.
A-plus. I'm putting the Hawks up to an A-plus. They have done everything they possibly can.
Come on, Essendon, respond.
To stir the emotions of their – because this is what they've got to do. Stir. We know we're going to get, you know, Essendon and Hawthorn. When is that game?
That's Sunday afternoon at the MCG.
3:20 Sunday. Yeah. So you should get maybe, you know, 50. They're looking at 50 and then Hawks go
60 now.
Let's see if we can get this up to 60. We can get a bit of the online in the sand stuff going. So the coach is bought in. The past player's bought in. We need a response from Essendon today.
Well, Sheeds, been quiet lately.
That's it.
He's been very, very quiet lately.
Let's help these clubs out just to maybe get that extra 2,000, 3,000 or 4,000 people along. I think if Sheeds comes out.
What do you want him to say? What do you want him to say?
I was going to say marshmallows, but
No. You want him to have evidence of something accused Hawthorn of many years ago.
Yeah, Brereton. Sheeds has got to come out and have a go at Dermot about something. And then Dermot can have a go back, and then that will get – there'll be another 3,000. Job done. Righto. So tick off for Collingwood.
Mm. Tick off for Sam Mitchell and Hawthorn.
Yeah, Cats. Yeah, Jeremy Cameron just a quiet – yeah, we'll fly the flag. So they don't really need any – Geelong fans are going to come.
Melbourne play the Bulldogs. Why hasn't –
Song. Get that song out.
Well, get the song – well, there's the song, but now you've got
– Exactly. You're going to go to training today.
You got Lockie Hunter too.
It's captain's run on – when is it? Friday.
Mm.
You're going to go down there, and as the boys run out to do training
– Play that. Play that.
Yeah. And have Lockie Hunter do a little rap song, a little rap dance to it in the middle of the MC, in the middle of the training venue.
Come on, doggies.
And then the Dogs, well, they've got to come back as well.
Other clubs are leaving you behind at the moment.
That's right.
So
we're working hard just to try and get this record first round crowd. Kangas, Eagles, is there anything there? Simo? Simo's passed with the Kangas.
Yeah.
Clarko and Simo.
I'm not sure about any bad blood that is part of the connection between those two clubs. Clarko doesn't have trouble. He doesn't have trouble picking a fight, though, does he?
No, he'll pick a fight. In fact, Brooksy just got it. They got to trot Jakovic Kerry out. Yes, Wisp. Trot him out for a photo.
Well, what about
a wrestle in the middle of the G? A slap.
Oh, no, you can't be advocating that. Hey, Gemmo's been hanging on the line in South Morang. Good morning, Gemmo.
Morning, boys. How are you? Great to have you back and have footy back tomorrow night.
Ah, isn't it? How do you reckon the four umpires are going to go?
That's the question for you two guys. I haven't watched too much of the preseason. You guys watch a lot of footy. Mm. How did they go in the preseason, and how do you think they'll go when the real stuff starts?
No, I don't think anyone noticed them, did they, Gary?
I think there's the answer for you, Gemmo. We came back on air after the first round of practice matches when there were four umpires, and I can't remember taking one call where someone rang up and said, I tell you what, the game's stuffed as a result of that extra umpire.
Oh.
We haven't had one yet.
I'll tell you who's stuffed. Who? I'm stuffed.
Why?
I am stuffed because I had the opportunity, as that Rowan has said, I was at the MCG yesterday. I was out there on the hallowed turf doing a pitch inspection. I had the opportunity to draw a line on the MCG for the game on Sunday, and I missed the opportunity. Why didn't you tell me to take some lime with me or something?
I wasn't in promoter mode yesterday. I mean, exactly. You had all the media there, and there's the Wisp with his can of spray paint.
I could have given
spraying a dirty, big, long white line. They go, what are you doing, Whispers? Line in the sand. That would have... Oh, you missed... You've
He's
missed,
on everywhere in here, boys. Spot fires all over the place.
You missed a trick there. You've missed a trick. Any other promotional ideas that you've come up with, please help us out. Any of these other games need a hand? Port Adelaide and the Brisbane Lions. I've got nothing there. I've got nothing. What can Corn do? We'll have to leave that to Corn to try and steer.
Well, that's Corn's domain over there. We're not allowed to step over the border and interfere.
My man Brooksy's on fire. He's just suggesting cut up the Wakelin Lynch punch on from the grand final.
Brooksy, one of the best producers in the business.
Cut that up and put it on a loop for the fans just to get them into the spirit of things. Very nice,
Brooksy. Yeah, put them on the back of a Toyota Hilux and just parade them around the cage before the game.
Promote that.
Yeah, that'd be magnificent.
They're going to get them back out there and see whether anything can happen. Send them through. We like it. We're excited. I think the clubs are doing a great job. Just on the front page, Herald Sun, Glenn McFarlane has done a great job. He's got the exclusive sort of...
Has he done a sit-down?
Well, look,
with Jordan Dugowie?
A tell-all. No,
yep. Is it a sit-down or a tell-all?
What I would say it's an extensive chat with one of the best players in the competition who's had a bit of a checkered history to date.
Has he opened him up like a can of sardines or not?
It says he talks about the New York and the Bali scandals, why I stayed at the Pies, my advice for Jack Ginnivan, how I'm turning my life around. He's got the picture of the dog. It's not for a second I've had a read of it. Is Jordan suggesting that he's a finished product and everything's good? He says he's a work in progress and that he's still, working through things himself. So that the timing of that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't want you to talk about anything that's confidential between you and Jordan, but you have...
What do you mean?
Well, you have met him... No, the point I'm making is you have met him socially on a number of occasions and you always come back to me and you say, Wisp...
He's a lovely, personable
bloke.
Yeah.
I really enjoy being in his company. That's exactly what you said the last time you spoke to him.
And all I say to that is you take people on the experience you have with them, right?
Yes.
So that's my experience chatting with him now. Yeah. He's clearly, by his own admission, he's made some blues along the way, but he says he's settled and he's getting older and wiser. He's been diagnosed. He's got ADHD, but says that's not an excuse and he's still working through it and all those sorts of things. But
you've been around him when he's been sort of at a function, at a party type environment.
Yeah.
And you said, you couldn't find a more respectful young man and, talking to people, friendly, happy,
that was
engaging,
my experience. 100%
all those things.
100% it was. It was my experience. But front page Herald Sun, does that put any more pressure on him? Does it? It certainly helps the promotion of the game, no question about that.
Well, I think it's probably – I don't think it puts any more pressure on him. I mean, he's been under so much pressure over the journey. I don't think that will put any pressure on him.
I didn't like the person I was is the big headline that screams on the front page. So, it's a bit of a late open your heart and lay it on the line a little bit.
Mm. Well, people do want players of high profile like him to open up and talk about what they've been through their journey. And I think it's also – cathartic for the player to be able to do that. They might. This is not to say that he's not going to have problems again, because as he says, I'm a work in progress. Like you're a work in progress, Gary. I'm a work in progress. So we're almost the finished product, but I'm not sure that we can improve much more on our performances. But we are still a work in progress, and there's not a day goes by, Gary. I often say this to you that I don't learn something new about myself and the people around me.
He's a wise man. And what do I always say about our audience?
They're knobs or what?
No.
That's what you generally say.
Smartest audience in, and they have said Siren Gate for St Kilda and Freo. Bring up the Siren Gate again. There's one that's going to get magnificent, whoever sent that through. You're in the running for the Toyota Hilux. SEN Breakfast for Koga Money Credit Card, packed full of value on Melbourne Airport Parking, now offering value, terminal and premium parking.
Breakfast with Gary and Tim.
Oh, it's on. It is on. We can sense it. We can sense it with the messages, with the phone calls. Everyone's up and about, whispers. Footy doesn't need too much of a promotion, but we're just trying to help people out with a little, maybe a little extra 2,000 or 3,000 through the gate, help the AFL out. We can send them a bill at the end and say, well, you got your record, crowd, because we found a couple of different hooks.
Yeah, we did. We did. And what about this hook too? Melbourne Bulldogs, did you kick your 10 goals against the Bulldogs? Yes. I tell you what, that would fire a lot of people up at the stadium if you're up on the big screen just talking everybody through.
I can do that.
Each and every one of the
10
goals.
I can do that, Tim.
Because your memory of that day.
What time do you want me there? I'll get there early. I can do it before the game, halftime, and I'll do it post.
Talk about clarity with Garrity. I've never known anybody to recall anything with such clarity.
All right, we'll see if we can lock that in. Ashley's in Echuca. G'day, Ash.
G'day, fellas. Glad to hear he's back on the radio. I'm pumped for the footy again.
Good on you, mate.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about Craig McRae. Last year he comes in and he hypes up the players, all the supporters, the AFL really, more than any coach I've really seen in my time. And then I'm thinking, you know, what can the bloke surely do this year? And then he comes out with an interview with, I think, Barrett on AFL.com, and he backs Ginnivan, who copped it hard, in my opinion, all last year. And tells the players, listen, I don't have a son. I've got two beautiful daughters, but listen, I've got 44 sons here who are by my side, who I'm going to stick by. Rain, hail, or shine, and he's come in and supported the boy that everyone's given it to. So I just I'm just loving that. I'm loving Friday night footy again, and I can't wait to set the pies up and about.
Well, good on you, Ash. I can hear the passion in Ash's voice.
That's
this
the
morning.
Sort of calls we want this morning. We want to see how excited you are. And he did. Craig McRae alluded to the fact that he's got. I just read it. He said he's got, here it is.
Yep.
The only parts I'll share about it, and I told the playing group this, I don't have a son. I have two beautiful daughters who I love so much, but I don't have a son, and I told the players I've got 44, though, and I treat you all like my sons.
Oh, crikey. That doesn't, if you couldn't fall in love with Craig McRae anymore,
that doesn't get
that
you
has just taken it to a whole new level.
Fly, then what would? That is great.
Flying his boys. Mario's in Doncaster. Good morning, Mario.
G'day, guys. Now, guys, I make an appeal to the minnow club that is Carlton. Don't embarrass yourselves tomorrow night. I don't want there to be any cheating around Brownlow votes for Cripper or whatever his name is. And if you stuff up again, minnow club Carlton, we'll replace you next year with North.
Well, Mario,
fighting words
we've
Mario.
Missed Mario. I haven't heard Mario for a while.
That's good word
he
from Mario.
He used to do this shtick a while ago. I don't know if the Carlton fans will bite this time, will they?
Yeah, I don't know whether they'll bite at all. I see your mate, Juddy, he was a bit bullish about him last night on our news, said that he is expecting, I think, I don't want to put words into his mouth, but he's expecting that they'll be a finals contender or a finals team at the end of the season.
Yeah, Gil McLaughlin says the league will be answerable if wrongdoing is found for the treatment of concussion. We'll talk about that with Sammy Edmund when he wanders in. He was on the AFL 360 last night. We'll go through a few of those issues.
Yes.
With Sammy.
And also, Andrew Dimitro was on Sports Day last night too. And you and I had this conversation, I think probably maybe a week or two ago, about the fact that we thought that players maybe should be paid more. This is what the former CEO of the game had to say.
I think the players need to be paid more. Mm. I mean, when I was CEO and now I started in 2003, we had two or three players on $1 million, and there's probably just a handful of players on that level of remuneration now. There's probably more players earning more than $500,000 than there were when I was there, but players should be remunerated accordingly, and there should be more players earning more money. The players, as a total, should be getting more of the share, and probably because there's a lot of competition from other sports now.
What do you think about that? Yeah, so that's 2003, he's saying. 2003, 20 years ago.
Duck was the only one.
Yeah, he's saying, no, he said two or three players.
Duck and Cooter, maybe.
Well, maybe someone else at that time too, but on $1 million back 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And the needle hasn't shifted that far, has it?
No. It has for the, as he said, for those
It's
underneath.
Brought up, the lower to mid have come up, but...
There's not too many sports or industries that would be reflective of too many industries 20 years on.
No, not at all. Not at all.
We said that $2 million would be a good figure for the best player in the comp, wouldn't it?
The money has to come from somewhere though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You got to extend the...
$4.5 billion.
The salary cap. Yeah, no, the money... But the money is in the game somewhere. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's being portioned to other areas of the game, okay. The development of the game. You've also got AFLW coming in.
How much does Gil
earn? Ian's, I don't know, 2.5. He's on some incentive payment, I think, depending upon how much money he brings into the game as well.
I don't know the answer to this, but is there any other sport where the CEO would be earning more than the best player?
I think you know the answer to that. I think you do know the answer to that.
Well, I would imagine not.
Exactly. You do know the answer.
So why
is
it that that's the case with us?
That's a good question. That's a very good question, the way that the money is distributed in our game.
And not only just.
And I tell you what, if Gil was here right now, that would be the number one question I would like you to ask of him.
Was it
why should he be paid more than the highest paid player in the game?
And not
just. Good question.
And not just.
Well, double, maybe triple.
Well, imagine that. Imagine you go over to the NBA and go, oh, by the way, your man, old money flicker and wing eater.
Yeah.
David Stern's getting twice as much as you.
Well, that doesn't happen over there.
Doesn't happen in the NFL.
Well, it's not David Stern anymore. He's no longer with us.
Oh,
but it's Silver.
Oh, Dave Silver.
David Silver.
Is his name David?
No, it's not David.
Harvey. It's Harvey Silver. Oh, Adam Silver.
You're alive and kicking this morning.
Adam Silver. Russell's in Pac-Man. G'day, Russ.
Dead and buried.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Good Russ. You.
Good to have the footy back. So excited, boys. Now, let's talk about the Saints and Freo. Saints got a pretty ordinary side in on Sunday. But I'll tell you what, Ross the boss is back, and the boys from the West, you're going to go on with your tail between your legs, boys.
Well, you think that Ross is going to orchestrate a big upset at Marvel at 4:40 on a Sunday?
Oh, I think so, boys. Saints by about at least 8 goals.
Righto.
On your Russell, full of confidence. Don't rule them out. Do you think they're their underdogs going into this game?
Yeah, 100% they are.
It's been played here on their own dunghill, Marvel Stadium.
Freo travel pretty well, and they're coming off a final season, and your Saints, who you've tipped to play finals footy. In fact, this is how we promote this game. We get the Wiss Watson audio out and say St Kilda into the finals and Fremantle out. That's what the statement you made last week.
Yep. No, that would bring a lot more people to Marvel Stadium. I think, what's the capacity? I think you went with the capacity.
68,000. who was that caller? I've forgotten his name. You don't give any prizes. You're a Scrooge of prizes. Give Russell a $200 boating, camping and fishing voucher. BCF Preston, number one for outdoor Easter fun.
Okay, and I'll tell you what else he can have. He can have 18
holes. Well, don't give all your prizes away at once. Hold a couple back.
He can have 18 holes of golf for him and a mate too and a cart at Club Mandalay. There you go.
There goes the prize pack.
You're quite brilliant, Shane.
The fight for spots is back on again, and that's going to probably be my year this year. Is that I'm battling for my spot back into this guy, young guys coming through, and we saw young Samson Ryan come out and play a quarter against the D's and play really good footy. Is that I've got to play for my spot, and there's an element of that I love. Like, it sort of makes me like, right, I want to grab my spot. I want to be there on that first night.
If I'm a Richmond supporter, that is music to my ears. That Jack Riewoldt's got that fire in the belly and that he knows the competition's on. And what he's saying right is that they couldn't clunk one in that, albeit a practice match against Melbourne, and they brought on the young kid, Samson Ryan, and he went bang, 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 just started marking everything. So Jack would be sitting back going, righto, good, game on. And
that,
I think that's a fantastic attitude to have for a bloke who's, done everything you need to do in footy, who could easily have sort of put his feet up at the end of last year and said, no, I'm going to retire. And wander off into the media because he's pretty much assured of a spot there. But no, he's prepared to go on with no guarantee and fight really hard. I reckon that's great. Apologies. I said,
how much is Roger Goodall?
I said
Goodall
I wasn't sure, and you said I was sure.
You seemed like you were sure.
I said I wasn't sure.
And?
Roger Goodall, $63.9 million a year.
Mm.
Gil's underpaid.
He's.
He needs a raise. $63 million a year.
There's a lot of money in the NFL, Gary. A lot of money in that game.
Gross.
And the owners love him. because of the way that he operates.
Thank you for whoever sent that message.
What's Adam Silver on? How much?
He's on about 20, I think.
Well, yeah.
15 or 20.
That's a lot less than enough. The players. A lot less than the highest paid players in the NBA.
Yeah.
Just on Jack. That's the way it is, though, isn't it? That's the way it should be. Like when you get to, you know, that period of your footy career and you're in your 30s and the twilight zone of the game for you as an individual, that's the way it should be. Like you should have to battle for your place in the team.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a healthy thing if a football club's operating like that and there are no guarantees that he would have had those conversations with Dimmer. He would have set him down and said, mate, look, you offer a lot to this football club, you know, not in terms of just your on-field, but your off-field, all that sort of stuff is great. Mm. But you're at this stage of your footy career and we can't guarantee that you're going to be a walk-up start and play every week.
And say,
understand that before you embark upon another pre-season.
And he's already defied father time in general because not many players continue to play at a really high level, you know, post 32, 33, whatever the case may be. Mm. This is another year on. So it's another – when we talked about this on Monday, when you're thinking about going again and you're in the twilight of your career, it's not about going again for the pre-season because that's in front of you. You can make your decision for that and go, oh, I think I can get through that. Can you still be going at round 18 in 6 months' time? That when you're 34, that's like three extra years by the time you get there.
It's the weekly grind though too, isn't it? Getting yourself up to play. As you get older, you get sorer. It's harder and harder to get from training session to training sessions, from game to game. I mean, all that's an accumulation of the work that your body has done over a period of time. And you're quite right. Like for the, you know, for the Tigers, are they looking at Jack and thinking, okay, we're going to nurse Jack through the year because we want him available for the last month of football? Or are we looking at Jack as somebody that may help us get to the last month of the season?
And the thing about it is, and this is the decision that you make, by playing Jack, do we not see the Ryan kid, right?
Mm.
That, and then the Ryan kid comes on in the last quarter against May and Lever and Petty and takes four contested marks or whatever the case was. So then you go, hang on, this is what happens. He's not a list clogger, Jack. He absolutely earns a right to be there and earns a right to play. But when you've got someone who's served you so well, the tendency is to go for them and you might not see what's under your nose just emerging.
If you think about what Geelong did last year, though, with Joel Selwood, right, they had a clear plan at the beginning of the season and they were going to play him, you know, they would have mapped out exactly what games that they were going to identify him to play in right throughout the course of the year. That was all designed so that they believed that he was going to be cherry ripe for the last month, and which he was, like right through the final series and played off in the grand final.
Beautifully handled.
Unbelievable. I don't think that Richmond are really necessarily thinking of Jack like that, do you? Because
that depends on whether these other – yeah, when you've got midfielders, you've got more capacity to run players through so you can rest. Yeah, when you've got a set number of forwards. But if one emerges, then pressure comes on. I've got to take a break. We'll talk about Buddy and Logan McDonald and what it means for them as well, because that's another consideration for the Swans.